I guess it was just a week ago now, my family and I had an opportunity to take our niece, Aubrey, up to Word of Life to minister there for the summer. And as we went, it was very obvious Aubrey was excited. She was just bouncing off the walls, just chattering away, and just thrilled that she could go and do this. In case you don't realize, she's my niece, 17-year-old niece, and she's been living with us now for 2 years, and we had the opportunity to take her there to Word of Life to work for the summer. Word of Life is a camping ministry. And she made a statement that struck me, and I believe it's a very adequate introduction to our study this morning. And she made it something like this. I don't have it word for word, but she said, "I wish I could feel like this all the time. I wish I had this," she didn't use this word euphoria, but I wish that I felt this way and had this euphoria all the time, this anticipation and this excitement for what was to come. I don't think she realized the profound statement that she made. But it impacted my heart, and a very adequate introduction to our study today on the crown of righteousness. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We are in our series looking at heavenly rewards for the believer. And the New Testament very clearly speaks of some crowns that God is going to give to believers as reward for their faithfulness while they lived on this earth. Very important that you get the context of a crown. These crowns are for believers. A believer is someone who has trusted in Jesus Christ as their only payment of salvation, their only way of going to heaven, Jesus Christ. And a believer is here on this earth to proclaim Jesus to the world. We've looked at the incorruptible crown and the fact that these rewards that God will grant to us as we go to be with Him before the judgment seat, it's never going to perish, it's never going to decay. And today we see Paul mention the crown of righteousness. I'd like us to begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Follow along. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love His appearing." I want to stop there. Brief context of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is commonly thought to be the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote it from a Roman dungeon, literally a hole in the ground. And he wrote it to Timothy, a minister who was younger than he, who was ministering possibly in Ephesus at this time as their pastor and elder. As you see, the Apostle Paul is kind of summing up his life here. He's rounding it out, and he's giving some final exhortations to Timothy. You notice in verse 2 and verse 5 specifically, you have very clear commands that are given to Timothy. preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. All of these commands in order for Timothy, do these things. Verse 5, watch thou in all things. Be on guard, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. All of these being commands to the young man, to the younger man, Timothy. And then you see him talking about how he's ready. He's ready to go. Well, where is he going to go? He's going to go to the execution block is where he's going to go. You see, the Apostle Paul was going to be executed. Why? It wasn't because he committed a crime. It was because he had faith in the living Jesus Christ. And at that time, emperor worship was high, and the people were required to worship the emperor of Rome, and of course, dedicated Christians would refuse to do so. We see now in verse 8 this mention of the crown of righteousness. And today I'd like us to take a closer look at what exactly Paul is saying. We're going to look at righteousness. We're going to look at who is going to present this to him. And we're going to look at why he believes he will receive this. And then we'll close with some application. Paul writes and he says, henceforth in verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Literally, this crown is a stephanos, which is a wreath that they would give to the winners of the Olympic Games back in those days. It wasn't a gold medal like it is today, but they would have a victor's wreath. And the victor would be the only one who would walk around with this wreath. This word crown is a word that's used throughout the scriptures to speak and designate these rewards for believers. Now, Paul mentions and he says that this crown is laid up for him. Now, an interesting way of looking at that is that this crown has been set aside for him. It is not in his presence now, but it will be once he goes to be with the Lord. It's fascinating to me to see the confidence that the Apostle Paul has in these words. It almost sounds very boastful, doesn't it? Because here he is and he's saying, you know what? Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, he's got something for me. You know what, dear ones? I believe it's pretty safe to say that the Apostle Paul realized the detriment of pride. And I don't think he's speaking out of pride here. I think he's speaking out of a confidence that comes as a result of the life that he has lived by the grace of God. Let's think about Paul's life for a moment. Paul began his life in a very elite situation, in a very elite group of people called the Pharisees. And talk about pride, these men, these scribes and Pharisees thought they had it all together. They obeyed all the law. And this is the way Paul's life began. But then on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus appeared to Paul, and his life was changed. And you see periodically through his letters, him speaking about his former life, and how all of those things are worthless for the cause of Jesus Christ. There breeds now a confidence in his life as a result of what God did, that he now understands and knows that a faithful life lived in the grace of God is one that will bring about reward from the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. You know what, we as believers don't often think about rewards, do we? In fact, many times we're chided because we're not supposed to live for reward. We're supposed to live for Jesus Christ. Yes, we are. But you know what? God has built in this reward system for the believer. I want to make it very clear again. All of these rewards and things are not to save you. They are a result of you living out your salvation, living out your saved life, being faithful to God after he has saved you. So there's this crown that is set aside for him, and now it is a crown of righteousness. Now when we talk about righteousness, very, very quickly, our minds go to rightness, God's standard. But in the Bible, as we talk about righteousness, it's important that we understand some very key things about it. First of all, that righteousness is only of God. You will only ever find righteousness in God. Turn with me, you can keep your finger there in 2 Timothy and go to the book of Romans. When you want to study righteousness, you go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans is full of truth about God's righteousness. Righteousness is only of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Later down in the chapter, in verse 21, Romans 3:21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? Righteousness is found only in God. It's only of God. Secondly, righteousness is granted by God through Jesus Christ to those who believe. So if righteousness is only found in God, the Bible does talk about people living righteous lives. How is that possible? It is only possible through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Bottom line. Done deal. Jesus Christ is the only way we can ever hope to live righteously. Look at Romans chapter 3 again, verse 24. It says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That's a big word. It means satisfied the wrath of God through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It is through Jesus that we receive righteousness. And this righteousness not only is only found in God, and it is only granted through Jesus Christ to the believer, but righteousness has a purpose in the believer's life. And that purpose is that the righteousness of God that you and I seek to live is seen by the world, and directs the world to Jesus Christ. If you look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, it says this, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Believer, you know what? It is possible for us to live a righteous life. In other words, it's possible for us to obey God. Amen? It is possible. But it is only possible through the grace of God that's found in Jesus Christ. That's it. That is it. There is none righteous, no, not one. Apart from God, there is no righteousness in us. And through Jesus Christ, we can obey God. And the Lord Jesus put it very well in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, listen to what he says here. He said this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why do you think he wrote that? He wrote that because he was exhorting the disciples to live righteous lives, to live according to God's standard, which what the Sermon on the Mount, that's what it's about. He's declaring God's standard for life. And he's saying, now you live that so that the world will see the light and then be propelled to glorify God as a result of it. Now, how does this all tie in to 2 Timothy and this crown of righteousness? Well, I believe it ties in as we look at the final phrases of this passage, of this verse. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, okay, the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know what, just like my niece Aubrey anticipated the events of the summer and the things that she was going to participate in, the Apostle Paul here exhorts us to this truth. The crown of righteousness will be granted to those that are loving Christ's appearing. Now this word appearing carries with it the idea of bright manifestation, or this idea of showing up on the scene. And I want you to wrap your mind, I want you to take a little moment, I want you to think about this concept for a moment. I want you to think about Jesus Christ and him coming again. And as he comes again, what is it that you're anticipating the most? What is your attitude toward his coming? You know, why, by way of application, you could ask yourself, are you looking forward to his coming? Or are you afraid of his coming? Many of you have children, or have had children, and brought them up. And I was a child once too, and I know that when children do something that they should not do, they don't look forward to their parents coming home and finding it. In other words, they are afraid of their parents coming. Why? They're afraid of their parents coming because they have done something. Their life has been lived in such a way that it was not pleasing to their parents. They know it. On the flip side, young people, you do something. You draw a picture. You clean up a room without being asked. You do something that is, you know, is pleasing unto God. You cannot wait for your parents, your dad, your mom, to get home and see what you have done. Right? I know that's the way it is for me, even as a big kid. My wife would tell you, I love affirmation. And I do a project or I do something, I want her to see it. And I can't wait for her to say something about it. Flip side is, if I do something that I shouldn't, I don't look forward to that conversation. But take note here. Why is this crown being given? Because it's being given to those that love his appearing. You know what, believer? The Lord Jesus is coming back. He is coming. And that day is not known. It could be today. It could be today. And here's the powerful truth. The Apostle Paul was ready. He was ready for that day to see his Lord. He was ready for that day. And the crown of righteousness is granted to those that are ready. It is granted to those who have been living in such a way that they're not ashamed of Christ's presence, of him coming and seeing their life. In other words, this means that this is not for people who are living in what I call a future grace mode. That is, sinning today but counting on God's grace tomorrow. You know, it's sad, but I believe sometimes people, we can do that, will make the excuse that it's okay for me to do this today, but God will forgive me tomorrow. And that's the kind of attitude and life that is not taught in the Scriptures. The Scriptures tell us, be ye holy as God is holy. And there is never a reprieve or a break, but we are to constantly seek to live pleasing to the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, he's looking back at his life. He was not a perfect man by any stretch. But he's looking back at his life, and his life is coming to an end. And he's ready to meet his Lord. And he says in verse 7, I've fought a good fight. My course I have finished. The faith I have kept. As a result of that, there's laid up for me this crown of righteousness. This crown that speaks of God's standard of living. That is only possible through Jesus Christ. This crown that is given by the righteous judge, and I think he put that word righteous in there just to clarify it and amplify the righteousness of our Lord. He is the righteous judge. He always does what is right. He shall give me at that day. Just a little note there. That day is emphasizing a certain day. What is that day? I believe that it's that day that we see the Lord Jesus. That day when he comes again for his church. And I'm so grateful that the Apostle Paul said, and not just for me only. Not just for me only, but for all those that love his appearing. Church, that can be you too. That can be me too. You know what? The Scriptures are timeless. They work for every culture and every time. And this truth is for you and me today. Do you love his appearing? Or are you afraid of it? In closing, I'd like us to go to the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. As we contemplate the application of this truth in our own hearts and lives, I want us to see what Jesus says here in this final chapter. Revelation chapter 22 is wrapping up the vision of John that John had given by Jesus Christ. I want you to take note to chapter 22 in verse 7 where Jesus says, Behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. Church, are you ready for his coming? Individual out there, maybe when you think of God coming to take his church home and believers home, your heart is riddled with fear because you know that's not you. Dear one, listen, today is the day. God's declaring to you, he's saying, I'm coming quickly. Now I want you to look at verse 12. Listen to this. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Do you hear that? Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking of reward. And it's to be given according as your work, according to your works. This is for believers. The way you've lived your life in Christ through the grace of God. Jesus said in verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Look at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Verse 17, John comments and he says, and the Spirit and the bride say what, church? Do you say that? Is that your heartbeat? Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Notice it's the Spirit and the bride. The Spirit lives within believers, lives and dwells believers on this earth right now. It's the Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride, church? Raise your hand. I'm the bride. I'm the bride of Christ. And it's the Spirit and the bride, they say what? Come. And let him that heareth say what? And let him that heareth say what? Come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what? All the way up to the last chapter of the Bible, you see God's heart of grace and his desperate love for people to know him. And here in this last chapter, he speaks of the water of life. And this, I believe, speaks of what John talked about in his gospel with the woman at the well. Remember, he offered her living water. He offered her living water because she was dead in her trespasses and sin. And it is through Jesus Christ he offers life. And he illustrated it with living water. And here in this passage, we see the Spirit and the bride say, come. Oh, they're ready. It's the church. They're ready. We see, let him that heareth say, come. Are you hearing the truth? When you hear the truth, you embrace the truth, you say, come. Let him that is athirst say, come. Who's those that are thirsty? Those that are longing for Christ's satisfaction. Those that are desperately thirsty for God and his truth. Dear one, listen to these words. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus Christ is offering up today salvation to all those that believe in him. To all those that believe in Jesus Christ. That he is the Savior of the world. That he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin so that you might know life. Apart from God, there is no life. Apart from God, there is eternal separation from him forever. Listen to the words of God. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then finally in verse 20 we see, he which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. So, what about you today? You may be here and you're tired. Been a hard, long week. The scriptures are teaching us this morning that the promise of Christ's coming, would you allow that to be a motivating factor in your life? To live every moment in such a way that is pleasing to God? Parents, would you build into your home a home where every moment is a moment where you would say, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. Church, would you have the mentality of living in such a way that we would not be ashamed of the Lord and his coming at that moment? You know what? Love his appearing. And if you're here today and his appearing is something that is frightful for you, I want to share something with you that was shared with me when I was 16 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a home where I knew all about Jesus. But I had this problem. I lived in fear. Every time somebody would talk about eternity, hell, heaven, I knew where I wanted to be. But I was afraid, and I just didn't quite understand the entire magnitude of the gospel. The good news of Jesus. Until someone, I don't even remember who it was, but someone told me that a Christian doesn't have to live in fear. We can live in the confidence of knowing we are God's child and our eternal destiny is with Him forever. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to live in fear today. God is offering up His salvation to you. And forever, your destiny could be with Him. Do you love His appearing? Lord, I thank You for our time together, and it's such a blessing to share this time with these dear people. Lord, the crown of righteousness. Oh God, would you drive us, Lord, to living holy lives, that we are living in such a way that we are not ashamed of Your coming. For truly, Lord, You could come today. And God, we are excited about that truth. I pray that You would bless this food to our bodies and give our minds and hearts strength as we carry on in fellowship. Thank You, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.